Again, we are doing the Chafetz Chaim, Klal Chet Halacha Yud Aleph. It is Motzei Asara B'Tevet. I hope everyone had an easy fast. We're up to, again, page Kuf Samach Zayin, Klal Chet Halacha Yud Aleph. V'gam Ein Chiluk. So, the Chafetz Chaim had said last time that you're not allowed to tell relatives Lashon Hara. This is very challenging. Very often, specifically with our relatives, we're tempted to share the Lashon Hara that's been going on in our lives. And that's what we discussed last time, the importance of not saying Lashon Hara to one spouse. וגם אין חילוק ואיסורו בין הסיפור היה לפני אנשים שאינם קרוביו של האיש הוא מספר עליו או לפני קרוביו. And it doesn't matter if the story happened before relatives or not. ואפילו אח על אחיו אצל אביו. Sometimes brothers think it's okay to talk about another brother to the parent. Meaning, I'm only talking to my wife about her father. I'm only talking to my dad about my brother. No, remember, Aaron, Miriam, Moshe, they're all siblings. And we learn about Lashon Hara from Miriam and Aaron's conversation about Moshe. Here they are, siblings. There are two books attached here. So you gotta... We're in the first book, yes? So this is Gam Ken Lashon Hara Gemurai. When siblings speak about one another to the parent, that can also be Lashon Hara. That's a tricky but important halacha. Yes, sir.
Can you speak in positive way about someone? Is this also Lashon Hara?
No, Lashon Hara.
Got it.
When he's not here.
Lashon Hara is something negative, something a person would prefer not being said about them. So, yes.
Is Lashon Hara if you person I tell it to, he doesn't know what I'm talking about?
Generally, that's not Lashon Hara. If I tell you a story and you have no idea who the story is about, that's usually not Lashon Hara. That's a problem. That's a big challenge with our wives. Very often, we can tell a story and we think they don't know who it is, and they're much smarter than us. They figure it out. Oh, you're talking about that. How did you know? Right? So that's a challenge, yes. That's their strength, right? Mevin davar mitoch davar. Women have bina yetera. They have that understanding where they can figure out beyond what we say. ואפילו אם הוא מכוון בסיפור כדי שקרוביו יוכיחו על זה, even if a person's intention is I'm going to tell dad so that dad will give him over the head for this, גם כן אסור, that's also prohibited, דהיה לו להוכיחו תחילה בינו לבין עצמו, because why didn't you deal with it yourself? ולא ללך תכף ולספר כלונו, why did you go and embarrass him right away? This is a very important rule, which we'll discuss in a minute. Unless you think it won't work, the guy won't listen to me, I have to get his parent involved, then it is permitted. So let's take a few classical scenarios where this comes up. We'll start with the scenario the Chafetz Chaim was talking about. It's your brother, and you're watching his marriage, and you think your brother is indecent to his wife. You think he should be more considerate. You think he should be more helpful. You think he should be more involved in his children's education. You think you're entitled to an opinion. That's what happens in life. Our close relatives, we feel like we are entitled to an opinion about what they're doing. So it might be very tempting to get the parents involved. This is something that happens in many families. One sibling will tell the parent, you know, I noticed such and such, they were biased for Shabbos or something else, maybe you should talk to them. Now, says the Chafetz Chaim, why? Why are you embarrassing your sibling in front of their parents? Why are you spreading their bad name? Why don't you try talking to them directly? Very often, it's laziness. And now the same thing happens with the spouse. Sometimes a person will tell his spouse when really they're just avoiding dealing with the situation themselves. Your neighbor keeps parking their car where you have trouble getting out. So it's tempting to tell your wife, can you talk to her? Why don't you talk to him? So that's a classical story number one. But there is another example of this that comes up in our lives as well. You have a roommate. You know that this roommate has certain faults. And the roommate's dating a girl. And you question whether he's sharing these things with the girl. So sometimes he doesn't have to share it with her. It's none of her business. She doesn't have to know how many times a week he oversleeps. It's none of her business how many times he shows up late for Shacharis or misses Shacharis, whatever. Sometimes more, sometimes less. Why is that her business? But let's say you're aware of things that are her business. Are you allowed to go and tell the girl? Let's say you know the guy has a deathly illness. They don't expect him to live beyond the next 10 years. Okay, so it's not his fault, but if he's dating a girl, isn't she entitled to know that? So what would the average person do the second you get a feel that maybe he's hiding it from the girl? It's very tempting to go to the girl and tell her, but that's not right. The correct thing is to go to the guy and tell him, don't you think you should share that with the girl? Don't you think she's entitled to know? Your best friend confides in you that he's HIV positive. Now he's dating a girl, and you see on Facebook they're planning an engagement for next week. Did he tell her he was HIV positive? So he confided in you. But you're a very ethical guy, even though he's your best friend, and you don't know this girl from Adam, but you're not going to let him just get engaged if you know the girl, she could be risking her health if he didn't tell her. So maybe she's also HIV positive, right? But you don't know. So what's the temptation is, in the name of what's decent, the temptation is to go and tell the girl, right? No, says the Chafetz Chaim, go tell the guy first. First, go over to the guy and talk to him. Did you share it with her? Does she know? You know, it's important you owe it to her to know. Then if you reach a conclusion that you really can't be certain that she knows, you might look for a way to talk to the girl. Maybe. I recommend you ask a halachic question first. So this is where it comes up, and people can, with the best intentions, people can destroy other people's lives. This tip that the Chafetz Chaim is telling us, talk to the person first. Chafetz Chaim says you're not entitled to go around the person and speak about them to their parent or something else. This past weekend, someone came to me and said, there are these kids, not in our community, in a different community, whose father doesn't take them to shul. So their father oversleeps, and every Shabbos morning, he gets out of bed at 10:30, and then eventually makes kiddush, and the kids are growing up, and they don't know what a shul is. So a well-meaning citizen thought to call someone in that community and see how they could get the kids to come to shul. He said, you know, you're dealing with dynamite. What's going to happen? It's a good idea, but you have to know how to do it. Maybe the idea is to talk to him. Maybe the idea is to talk to his wife. Maybe the idea is to find ways of making it happen naturally. But be careful, because if you talk to the wife and you get her to start thinking her husband's a bum, maybe you're going to destroy the marriage and make it worse for the kids. Before you make moves, you have to think through what's right, says the Chafetz Chaim. And before you talk to other people about someone, sometimes you have to try talking to the person themselves and see what's fair and what's right. So this is challenging. It's sometimes far less comfortable to talk to a person directly. But that doesn't mean that we have a right to pull away from that. That's sometimes our responsibility. Tell a guy. I had a student once who called me up 3 weeks before his wedding. And he and I both knew that there were certain things that he had undergone in his past that he owed it to the girl to share with her. And he called me up 3 weeks before the wedding and said, you know, Rabbi, I'm getting married. I said, no, I didn't know. We hadn't spoken in a few years. He lived in a different country. And then I felt very bad 3 weeks before the wedding. But I popped the question. We'll make up a name. We'll call him Jack. I said, Jack, did you tell the girl about this and this and this? And he says, no. I said, I know it's touchy 3 weeks before the wedding, but she's going to find out, and she's entitled to know, and I think you owed her to talk to her about it. And I was hating myself every second I'm saying this, because he's 3 weeks before the wedding. Do I know if this will destroy his relationship? And it was things that were really, really relevant for her to know. And he says, you really think I have to tell her? And I said, yeah. And if you want, let's talk to a professional. But if I think you owe her, I don't think it's fair to do differently. He says, you know, we're 3 weeks before the wedding. I said, I know. He says, you know, it can destroy our relationship. I said, I know. Let's think through how you tell her, what you tell her, when you tell her, how to present it. But let's figure it out and let's do it. The guy says, great idea, we'll be in touch, and hangs up the phone, and I never hear from him again. Wait. So now, 3 weeks before the wedding, and I'm sure, like you just said, he didn't tell her, right? And I can't blame him, right? It takes a lot of courage to tell her. And I'm trying to figure out, he doesn't have a Facebook account. I don't know where he lives. I don't know who the Kala is. I don't know where she lives. I don't know who his rabbi is today. I call up. I try to see if there's any way to talk to someone who's close to him. Is there anyone who can try? Nothing. Okay. I invested a certain amount of time. I said I did what I could. There's nothing else I can do. Fine. Okay. The 3 weeks are passing, and in my Shmoneh Esrei, I'm saying, Ribon Shalom, help them make it right. He's a good guy. He wants what's right. Help him do it right. Please. I did what I could, and I told him, and fine. A month passes, I don't hear from him. 2 months pass. Now, theoretically, he's married for a month and a half, right? A month and a week. And suddenly, I get a phone call. So the guy was very, very nice. He calls me up. It's already about a month and a half after his wedding. And he says, Rabbi, I just want to share with you. We're happily married, and everything's great. And now I'm not going to ask him, right? Now it's already indecent of me to ask, well, did you tell her, didn't you? So I'm biting my tongue the whole conversation. I'm so happy to hear it. Hashem should bless you and everything should go well. And then as he's about to hang up, he says, Rabbi, and by the way, you remember you told me to tell her? Well, you were right. Thank you, I did. I did. I took her out for dinner and I shared with her everything. And I don't know if our marriage would have lasted if I wouldn't have told her beforehand. She understood that I was too scared to tell her until that point, and she accepted it, and we built our lives together. And so it was very nice. It was nice that he called to say, you know, he could have left me in the dark for years. I wouldn't have known, right? But yeah, so that's this halacha, Mechatz Chaim. We tell the person, maybe you should talk to her. Maybe you should. It's very easy to go the other route, to call up the girl and say, I know he might not have told you, but you should know. But then you could be destroying their relationship. You talk to the guy straight, and you say, look, it's... And I just want to point out, you don't always have to tell a girl everything about your past. Not at all. On the contrary, there's a lot of your past that is completely irrelevant and should not be brought up. But sometimes there are things which, like I said, HIV positive, she sort of needs to know. It's within her rights, etc. I'm saying there are things that... And even that type of thing... there is a time when it's right to tell her and when it's not right to tell her. Person doesn't have to ruin their reputation and have all the girls talking about he's this, that, or the other thing. There are halachot, there are laws about when the right time is to say which thing. But coming back to here, the Chafetz Chaim told us we shouldn't think it's a freebie. I'm only talking about my relative to my relative. I'm going to talk about my brother to my sister. We discussed numerous times Rothschild's tip, and today I met with a businessman who told me he sees the same thing in his family business. When you get the daughters-in-law involved or the sons-in-law involved, that's when things become havoc. So long as it's family, brothers will make up with brothers. The second you come home and tell your wife, you know what my brother did? You know what my dad did? Your wife is going to develop an emotion towards that relative through marriage, and they're going to have a hard time covering that up. When it's your brother, you make up, even though you don't even remember what they did wrong to you. When it's your brother-in-law, then you're going to have a hard time ever forgetting. And this halakha that says, don't think it's a freebie. You can't just go to the parents and say, do you know what your son did? We're not talking about an age... Obviously, when a kid is 7 or 8 or 9, where it's the parents' responsibility to educate the kids. Once the child is at an older age, so then it's not the parents' responsibility nor our right to get them involved in their kids' lives when the child is an adult and it's his own responsibility. Unless, of course, like the Chafetz Chaim says, sometimes they're the only ones who could help him. And then you have to think if it'll work and how it'll work. Thank you. Yes.
He's talking to a therapist. And you tell him about the person. You tell him about the person in your life because it's important for him to know and tell him all the stories. And he knows who you're talking about. That's because of your work.
We will discuss that very often talking to a therapist can be permissible. I don't want to say a blanket statement. You could say anything to a therapist. That's a little bit too broad, but there's definitely room. We will discuss later on. The Chafetz Chaim will discuss when is it permissible to tell things. And then the Chafetz Chaim will mention that sometimes there are different needs that make it permissible. And there we will go into that. But you're right, that there can be a different set of rules with the therapist. The idea being that there's a toilet there. There's a need. There's also the idea that it doesn't really hurt anyone. Meaning, theoretically at least, what a therapist hears is supposed to remain private. It shouldn't affect anyone. It shouldn't be any different than writing in your diary. Theoretically. But there are details, meaning it's not just a blanket, yeah, you can tell your therapist anything you want. It's not completely open. There is much more room to be lenient because at the end of the day, there's a need, assuming there is one. When a person goes to a therapist, usually there's a need. But that's, you're right. It's, we need to discuss those guidelines, yeah. We're not holding there just yet. We'll get there in such a